chapter 3, or excuse me, 2 Peter chapter 3 one more time. Maybe one more time, we'll see. And verse 18. Thank God for the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
He has delivered us from our sins and from death. And, you know, I just see it heavy on so many people's hearts right now. Death is just a reality that we all face. And there's war going on around the globe. There are cancer diagnoses from little bitty kids to old people and everybody in between. And I just want you to know there's hope in Jesus. Death has been defeated.
Amen.
And we have great reason to rejoice in Christ tonight. And so I'm going to ask you to pray with me, and then we're going to read 2 Peter 3:18 together. Brother Mike, can you lead us, please? Amen. Let's read this together out loud. Ready? But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. We've been walking through several scriptures. Last time we walked through a lot of what Peter had to say about knowing things and about knowledge. Then we spent some time in Matthew and in John in particular, talking about what Jesus had to say about knowing things. And God has a desire for you to know things. Amen. He doesn't want to leave us in darkness and in ignorance. He wants us to know. He wants the world to know that God sent Jesus into the world. He wants the world to know that he loved them. This is John 17, 23. That the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. And so Jesus praying to the Father, he just lets us know that's a desire of God for us to have knowledge. And so I want to walk through a few more passages of scripture because I want you to get this. If you pay attention when you read your Bible, you'll see it everywhere. Knowledge and understanding and wisdom are things that God wants us to have. But he doesn't want us to have a little bit. He wants us to continue to increase and multiply in those things. And it's all through the Word of God. And the more time you spend in the Word of God, the more time God's Word is going to change you. And you're going to increase in that knowledge. First, of course, he wants us to have knowledge of salvation. 1 Timothy 2, verse 3. 1 Timothy 2, verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. That's talking about praying for all men, those in authority, praying for everybody everywhere. Why? Verse 4, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And if you go back and look at verse 4, God, when it says who will have all to be saved, it doesn't mean that they all will be saved. It means that's his will. It's his desire. It's God's good pleasure to send Jesus to die for all of us. And he wants everyone to be saved. But not everyone will be saved. And I know there's a lot of people who would dispute that tonight. But just look at what it says. He will. It's his will. It's his desire for all men to be saved. Well, all doesn't always mean all, Brother Isaac. That's true. But he wants us to pray for all men everywhere. So that kind of settles who all the Apostle Paul's talking about here. And so salvation, the knowledge, he wants everyone to come to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And it's the knowledge of the scriptures that Paul tells Timothy that are able to make you wise unto salvation. It's the word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ is able to make you wise unto salvation. So knowing the truth means knowing Jesus. And knowing Jesus means being saved from your sins. It means being saved from death and hell. It means being delivered. So he wants us to know salvation. Now, I don't know if you're aware of this, but just because you sat in church, even on a Wednesday night, like you come to church on a Wednesday night, that doesn't guarantee that you're saved, does it?
Amen.
Like just being in the room when you hear the truth? No. You have to appropriate that knowledge. You have to receive that knowledge by believing. And when you believe, you gain that knowledge, and that's how we can be saved. So he wants us to know the truth and to be saved. Next, he wants us to have knowledge unto sanctification. So it's for salvation and it's for sanctification. And I would say there are a ton of things in the New Testament that this applies to, but let's look at a few. James 4:17. James 4:17. Therefore, to him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is, what is it, everybody? So if you know to do good, but you don't do it, what have you done? Yeah, is that y'all having a hard time with that, or just don't like admitting it, or what? We don't like it, do we? Like, I know I should do something, and when I don't do it, you just go, well, I just didn't do a good thing, not a big deal. But God says that's sin, and so knowledge, knowing something that is good, is going to lead to our sanctification. Because I don't know if this happens to you or not, but when I know there's something that I should do and then I don't do it, I don't really feel great about that later. The Holy Spirit does this thing called conviction, and I don't enjoy it. It's not enjoyable. And I don't know about you, but I would like to avoid the conviction. I would like to avoid the chastisement, and so it's a good deterrent because God cares. He wants us to do good.
Amen.
Because he wants us to be sanctified. He wants us to be made holy. The word sanctification is a fancy word, but it means literally to be set apart. And the whole idea is that God has saved me from my old life, and he wants to set me apart from that old life by doing what's good and by doing what's right. It's about goodness and righteousness and holiness and sanctification. It all goes together, and it comes from knowing what's good.
Amen.
Okay? So, I mean, we have a conscience, so there's something inside of us that knows right from wrong, right?
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you this. I'm not good enough on my own conscience. I need more than that to know what's good. And God's given us his word so that we know what's good. So I know some of you thought that you could watch the news tonight and find out what's good and what's evil. I know some of you thought that you could get that from some New York Times bestseller or from some professor or teacher in school. But I'm here to tell you that if you want to know what's good, if you want to learn about sanctification, want to know the truth unto what's right, then you better get in the word of God. Sanctification. Colossians 1:9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. I don't know if you've ever tried to teach or give a lesson or anything from the Bible. Sometimes your point you're trying to make is in verse 10, but you can't stop because it's all so good.
Amen.
And Colossians here in chapter 1, it's hard to stop there because really you just want to take the whole thing. And then when you take all of chapter 1, you want to take all of chapter 2, and next thing you know, like, we'll just read Colossians tonight, and that'll be the message. But listen, he wants you to know. Notice his prayer. We have been praying for you, back in verse 9, and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Listen, they knew Jesus. They knew who he was. They knew that he was the creator and savior. They knew all kinds of things about Jesus. They knew that he was the creator, the Savior, and the sustainer of all things. But he said, I want you to grow more and more in this wisdom and knowledge. I want you to be filled up with the wisdom and knowledge of God. I want you to keep learning, keep growing. And I know some of you are at an age where you're like, listen, Brother Isaac, I'm too old to be learning anything new. Anybody? No? Okay, good. In case there was somebody thinking that, it's the Spirit of God that teaches you.
Amen.
So I don't care how old you are, God's Spirit can still teach you.
Amen.
Can still fill you up with wisdom and with knowledge and with spiritual understanding so that you can walk worthy of the Lord. In verse 10, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. He wants you to be filled with the knowledge of his will, wisdom, and spiritual understanding, and he wants you to increase in the knowledge of God. So I think that this is a two-way street. You can prove me wrong later. I think this is about gaining knowledge from God, knowing about him, but I think knowing about him is just the tip of it. I think he wants you to know him, right? And there's a difference, right, in knowing about him and knowing him. Yeah, because you have a relationship. Some of you guys can remember when you first met the person you're married to now. Do you guys remember any of those old conversations? Trina's here. She's been married like 50 years now or something. I don't know. It's what it feels like. Is that what you... He used to give you presents every month. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. She says hi. Okay. So listen, when you first start talking to somebody, when you first go a courting, you ask a lot of questions to get to know them, don't you? I mean, deep, soul-searching questions, like what's your favorite color? Do you like onions? Did she ask you or did you ask her? Okay, that's an important question. Do you like onions? Just seriously, though, how many of you have ever asked or been asked what your favorite color is? Why is that such an important thing about somebody? Right? I mean, we want to know things, but when you first get to know somebody, you don't have a relationship yet, but you learn about them. You find out about where they're from, about the things that they like or that they don't like. You learn about what their family's like and where they went to school and where they grew up, and you learn a lot about them, but sooner or later it becomes more than learning about them, you know them. And I think that God works like that with us. I think he's revealed himself to us, and I know it's really important. I think we ought to learn about the attributes of God. I think we need to know that he is holy, and we need to know that he is all-powerful and all-knowing and all of these wonderful things about him. But as you learn about him, it's more than that because you're gaining the knowledge of God, not just knowing about him, but you know him.
Amen.
Because he has a relationship with you through his son, Jesus Christ. Right. You're not just learning about God. You're learning about your heavenly Father.
Amen.
And it's a beautiful thing, and he wants you to grow in that. And here's what I think. I think that this, and this is why I'm calling this sanctification, is because the more I increase in the knowledge of God, the more I'm strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience or cheerful endurance and longsuffering with joyfulness. In other words, knowing God is what leads to my sanctification. Knowing him is what changes me and makes me what he wants me to be. So sanctification is about knowing him. And so sanctification is about knowing good. It's about being filled with the knowledge of his will, understanding what he wants, what he says is good, and he gives us the power to do his will. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. Ephesians 3, 14. Man, there's just some awesome truths in these letters that Paul wrote. They're just rich all the way through. But we're really getting the heart, what I think is kind of the heart of Ephesians 3. He says right here, Ephesians 3:14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Amen. Man, it's a lot, isn't it? But just check this out. His prayer, his desire is so that you would be able to comprehend with all those who are sanctified, all the saints, what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ that is beyond knowing. Amen. Don't you love that? Is his love beyond knowing? And yet he wants us to know it. Right. And it's through the power of the Spirit of God that you and I can know the unknowable. Amen. Okay, when I mention the love of Christ, what's the first thing that you think of? I'm getting old, I can't hear you, I gotta talk louder. His sacrifice? I mean, when I think of the love of Christ, for me, the first thing I think of is Calvary. I think of Jesus when they put the crown of thorns on his head and they beat him. I think of Jesus when they put the blindfold on and they hit him and they spit on him. I think of what Isaiah says, that they ripped the hairs, the beard from his face. I think about the stripes that he bore for my sin. I don't know how it is for you. Sometimes I can almost hear the hammer striking the spike, driving into his hands and his feet. I think about his sacrifice for me. Bearing our shame, bearing our guilt, dying on the cross for our sins, and saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Amen.
And I want you to understand something tonight. That's the first time I really understood about the love of Christ is his sacrifice on the cross.
Amen.
But brothers and sisters, his love is deeper.
Amen.
His love is higher.
Right.
His love is longer. It's wider.
Amen.
And I have, since that time I first knew about his love, I have experienced his love.
Amen.
In more and deeper ways. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
It's weird to be a preacher and have things that you want to say and you can't find the words, but
amen.
He has loved me.
Amen.
When I'm unlovable.
Amen.
No matter what I've done, he still loved me. No matter where I've gone, he still loved me. No matter what I've said, he still loved me. No matter what I've thought,
amen,
he still loved me. I've experienced his love, and I'm going to tell you, when you want to know him, you're going to know his love.
Amen.
To know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, so that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. So knowing God through his word is you're going to know him, you're going to grow in the knowledge of God, but knowing him through his love, you're going to know him.
Amen.
And isn't that just how relationships work? I mean, it started with asking Mike if he liked onions. And look at him now. If we didn't learn anything else tonight, we learned that Mike likes onions. Amen. True love. To know someone, to grow in love, in that relationship is to grow in knowledge. And he says, I want you to be able to comprehend and know the love of Christ. This is sanctification, to know God, to grow in the knowledge of God. It's sanctification to know his will, to know what is good, to know his will, to know his love. And I want you to look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Yea, doubtless. And I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. To know him, to grow in his knowledge, to know his will, to know what is good, to know his love, and to be like Christ. Paul's greatest desire was to be like Jesus so that he could know Jesus, even if it meant suffering. And certainly Paul went through a lot of suffering. But he said, I've given up everything to follow Jesus, and it's nothing to me because I want to have fellowship with him even in his sufferings. And I'm going to tell you, this is a hard thing for me. I'm an American Christian. We don't have to suffer for our faith much around here. We are exceedingly blessed. And I'm afraid sometimes it makes us too comfortable and too unwilling to give up any comforts at all to follow Jesus. Which, as a quick side note, just so you know, I think it's one of the reasons it's really important for us today to practice fasting, because we need to learn to deny our flesh. We need to learn to afflict ourselves a little bit, because it doesn't happen naturally for us like it does in other places. I mean, you guys had Iran on your mind lately? Iran, however you're supposed to say it. Iran. Anybody been thinking about that at all? Okay, good. Everybody's living under rocks. Cool. Can you imagine what it's been like the last 50 years in that nation as a Christian? Just to survive? Much less to take a Bible with you anywhere you go? To get together with other believers and worship? Listen, it was always a threat of death for them. But they suffered. They have suffered in the underground churches. And they have done that because they love Jesus and they're willing to suffer for him, for his name. And I'm just saying that for us, I think it's hard for us. But we ought to, if you want to know Jesus, if you want to know him and grow in his knowledge, then we have to have this heart that says, I want to know him, I want to know the power of his resurrection, and I want to know the fellowship of his sufferings. I want to be so much like Jesus that I experience the hatred that the world had for him. Amen. Now, what do I mean by that? Do I mean that you should go out there and try to stir somebody up until they spit on you? No, that's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that the more you live like Jesus, the more you walk in holiness, the less the world is going to love you. It's going to cost you. All right, let me try this. How many of you, since you started trying to follow Jesus, have had it change your relationship with other people? Amen. Right? Like the people you used to run with, they look at you now and they're like, why don't you run with us anymore? They can't quite understand why you're not doing the stuff you used to do. And some of them will be angry with you, and some of them will be mad at you, and some of them will just think you've lost your mind. But is it worth it to suffer just a little bit so that you can stay close to Jesus? Absolutely, it's worth it. Okay, so we want to grow in that knowledge. How do we do it? How do we do it? There are so many more things I want to say tonight, but let's look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, And we're going to look at verses 9 through 16, and we're going to wrap it up with this passage here tonight, but I want you to get the how, because I think anybody who's tried to live the Christian life, anybody who's tried to study the Bible and grow and grow up in the Word of God, if you've ever tried to do that, you've probably been disappointed sometimes. You've been a little disappointed with yourself, discouraged. I mean, I see it a lot of times when people come into the church early on. They're like, man, I don't know anything. And I think some people get disheartened by that. Like, they look around that some of you that have been here a long time, and you're like, man, you guys know so much, and I don't know anything. And I don't want you to be disheartened. I don't want you to be discouraged. I just want to tell you, we all start at the same place. We all start at the same place as babes in Christ, and we have to grow. And it takes time. It takes time. It took time for you to grow physically as a human being, and it takes time for us to grow spiritually as babes in Christ. Okay? But this is a spiritual business. And it's a beautiful thing, because when you give your heart to Jesus Christ and you get in the Word of God, He is going to grow you.
Amen.
He's going to grow you. And sometimes He'll grow you a lot faster than you would have ever dreamed possible. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. I might have said 2nd, but I meant to say 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and verse 9. I might have said Chronicles, but what I meant to say is 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him.
Amen.
Isn't that a good verse?
Amen.
I love that verse, and I've heard it a lot, but sometimes I think we don't read on, right? I used to think this was talking about heaven, like things that we don't know, but check out verse 10. But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
So this isn't talking about, verse 9 is not talking about something afar off that we'll know one day over yonder, just over in the glory land. He's talking about stuff that God's already shown us by His Spirit.
Amen.
It's exciting. So verse 10, but God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we, or so that we, might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. I'm going to tell you, we're talking about growing in knowledge, growing in sanctification, and all those things, and I'm going to tell you, the way it happens is through the work of the Spirit of God. Spiritual things are discerned spiritually.
Amen.
This is not a history book. It contains history, true history, but it's not a history book. I've known a lot of people like, man, I like to come to Bible study. I like to learn about the history. Well, that's cool, but salvation is spiritual, not historical.
Amen.
Okay? This is not an archaeological book, but it's full of archaeological facts. This is a book. This is a living book that is the very living Word of God. It was breathed out by the Spirit of God. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Spirit of God. This is a spiritual book, and it is understood by the Spirit of God. So what does that mean? Number one, you're not going to understand the Bible until you get saved. You can't. I believe that God will help you understand salvation, understand the gospel, understand that Christ died for you and you need a Savior, but you're not going to understand much more than that until you have the Spirit of God living in you, and then these spiritual things will be understood spiritually by the Spirit that is in you, because what did Jesus say? When I go away, I'll send the Comforter, and He will guide you into all truth. And He will teach you. He will teach you what the Father wants you to know. So it's spiritually discerned. So what does that mean? That means that I need to employ the Spirit that God has given me when I study the Word of God. I think you ought to pray when you read the Bible.
Amen.
I think you ought to pray when you come to church.
Right.
I think you ought to pray when you listen to preaching on a podcast or on the radio or on YouTube. I think you ought to pray anytime the Word of God is going into your mind. You ought to ask God to teach you, ask Him to guide you, ask Him to show you what He wants you to learn.
Amen.
Does God want you to know Him?
Amen.
You sure about that? Like every one of us? So He doesn't want to leave any of us in the dark.
Amen.
God's not looking down on us tonight like, I want Him to know me and her to know me, but nah, not Him. He's not doing that, right? No, he wants all of us to know him. And he's given us everything that we need, namely his Holy Spirit and the Holy Scriptures. So let's seek him so that we can know him. Let's stand together and pray. Father, I thank